Welcome to the Unstoppable Success Podcast, where we spotlight visionary leaders who have mastered the art of growth, purpose, and powerful connections. I'm your host, Jacqueline Strominger, connector, high performance coach, and creator of the Leap to Your Success framework and Two Steps to Yes. Each week, we dive into bold insights, real conversations, and powerful strategies to fuel your growth, deepen your relationships, and ignite transformational momentum. And why? Because you were meant to be unstoppable. Now, let's leap into the podcast.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to our amazing podcast. And today, I should also introduce myself. I am your host, Jacqueline Strominger, and today I have the absolute pleasure of introducing to you Alex Love. Let me tell you a little bit about Alex. So Alex is a dynamic and multifaceted professional, and she is currently serving as the VP of Marketing and Communications at Riva Solutions, which is we'll talk a little bit about what she's doing there, but she brings a wealth of expertise and unique perspective to the table. She's also a new mom, and she has her own podcast, which is Mastering the Art of Failing. So Alex's journey is marked by versatility, and she understands how to make a big impact with limited resources. So Alex, let's talk about being unstoppable.
Do it.
So welcome to the show. Seriously, new mom, balancing career, leadership roles, how are you being unstoppable?
You know what? Some days it feels like I am stoppable, but stepping into, so my daughter is just about 17 months old. So we're, you know, well past newborn. We're now in the let's figure out toddler phase and big feelings and big opinions, as I definitely see my personality mirrored back in this tiny human, which, you know, was the phase I knew was coming, but just welcoming it with open arms. I took the VP role 4 weeks before my daughter was born. So it was one of those things where it was two huge life shifts happening all simultaneously, with big expectations on both sides of the house for things that I'd never done before. So I was very, very thankful for the supportive culture that I had from my leadership team, you know, who not only followed through with the promises for promotions, even knowing, you know, impending maternity leave and things were changing on my world, but gave me the grace to sort of figure that out. Because when you welcome a child to the world, you're a whole new person. So I came back with new priorities, new limitations, healing while you're trying to balance, you know, low sleep, low everything, with this tiny creature that you now have like full responsibility for. You know, you don't get a lot of training on it. They're just like, here she is.
Right. I mean, you know, with all the books that are out there on momhood, there really is not a book about how, because it's so personal, like on how to deal with, you know, sleep deprivation, because everybody deals with that differently. Everybody deals with being a mom differently and all those responsibilities and how, you know, not to throw in your partner, but like your partner really in this case, like, or maybe you're a single mom, right? Depending upon what your role is, really is so individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's good to have friends who are like in different phases of momhood too. So, right. You know, we started our family. So I'm previously married, remarried. So, you know, my husband and I met in our 30s. So we started our family a little bit later than some of my friends, you know, who had, you know, marriages and children sort of in their 20s. But it's always fun to have those people that you can point back to and say like, is this normal? Is this real? Like, is this what we're really doing? Like, how are you dealing with it? And I've loved being able to pay it forward for some of my friends who are a couple months or maybe a year behind me in sort of motherhood that are like in the trenches of, you know, having a 4-month-old, 5-month-old, and being able to pass down that wisdom to say like, this is hard because you're putting your whole heart into it and you care. And if you didn't, then, you know, you'd be kind of breezing through this. But because you're giving it your all, not only in your career, but also to your family, like you're very, you're stretched very thin. But I like to say this is a phase, that everything is temporary, that the newborn stage, eventually they start sleeping. Eventually you get to a different milestone. Now my daughter is walking, running, throwing things. We're dealing with new challenges, but it's really fun to see her evolve and to see myself evolve too, as we're dealing with new challenges and trying to figure out. Again, my concern when I found out I was having a girl was, how do I actually parent a mini version of myself? Because I know I have a strong personality, lots of opinions, and I know that's going to be served right back to me. And I'm absolutely loving raising strong women. But it's a lot.
It is a lot. So something that you said, I actually really kind of want to touch on, because you entered into momhood, as you said, you just took on a new role as VP, and your, the team at Riva obviously supported, obviously, your role, like the pregnancy, obviously, and becoming a new mom and giving you the promotion. So I'm really curious as to, the strength of the leadership and how that has made such a great impact for you, because I think that's really important to help us be unstoppable. Again, as you said, even as a new mom, having that surrounding, but the corporate family.
Yeah, it would definitely not have been possible without the support. I have the privilege of working directly for our CEO, and I've been at the company now for 5 years, and started in a director role and sort of, continue to add on things to my purview, different departments, overseeing a lot of things, and now sort of sitting a little bit more on the strategy side of the house in terms of what's the vision for the company, how are we going to continue to grow, how do we pivot, change cultures, on side of my, daily operations, managing the marketing communications team. But thankfully, everyone around me is also parents too. And so while the senior execs, are a little bit, have older children that are in high school, approaching college, they've been in the trenches. And as entrepreneurs who started their business at the same time when they were welcoming and expanding their family, they had that experience that, they've gone through it. Maybe they're, a little bit further reserved, but it's still in your mind when you're like, oh yeah, I remember those nights trying to build a company, a business, and also sort of managing, my growing family too. So it was really, I had a moment actually when, we were in Miami for a leadership offsite, and I had already told the team I was pregnant. So everyone had known for about a month or so. And the VP conversation had been something that we'd been talking about for a while, and the timeline was there. But I was really kind of nervous to sort of bring that back up, because it was a handshake conversation. It wasn't anything that I had documentation for. This was just the path that we were working towards an agreement. And so many women get sidelined because they make these announcements, and you could be the top of your game. You step out for a couple weeks, months, whatever, for your maternity leave, and come back and your role is gone, or something has shifted, or because your priority has changed, someone in the company thinks that you're no longer the loyal employee because now you have children to take care of. So, I was very cautious, even with good relationships, when I sort of made that announcement. And of course, everyone was happy for you. But in the back of my mind, for a while, I had that in my brain. Is this going to still work out for me? Doing the best I can, being pregnant, trying to manage all of this. But we had a moment when, after sort of the day of strategic planning went through, we were standing at happy hour, having dinner. And the CEO came up to me and he said, "Are you excited to be VP?" And it just gave me this like warm feeling where I'm like, I didn't bring it up. He brought it up. We're still months away from both of these things happening, but his perception of this hasn't changed. And it was so soothing to me to be able to know, like, they understand that this is where I am in life, that, I'm going to do my best to succeed on both sides of the house, but my priorities are going to change significantly, with the welcoming of my daughter. But it just gave me such a good feeling about, like, wow, I am in the right place, because I have been in some of those cultures where you don't have that. You don't have the buy-in from the CEO, and especially sitting formally in a marketing role, you really do have to have that good relationship and buy into the vision and the culture, because because that's ultimately my job is to market it.
Right.
But, and I've left roles because I didn't have that connection and I didn't have that buy-in. So it's just a really nice moment where I was like, oh, I am in the right place. And this is a long-term thing for me.
That, okay. So I just absolutely, absolutely love that. Okay. So, so many great things. And I almost like have goosebumps. Well, I do have goosebumps from what you said, because I think it's so important that, you know, I can talk to someone blue in the face to talk about vision and mission and buying into that. And if you haven't bought into it, if you're the leader and the people on your team haven't bought into it, you know, that's not the right fit. And so it's so important that I think, you know, listeners, as you hear, you know, what Alex just said, she bought into it. She knew that, but so did the leader, the CEO of the company know that. But I want to go back to the before this conversation happened. Okay. And that is somebody in this role before?
No.
And so I'm curious as to how did this conversation even start with you becoming the VP of marketing and communications? Because I think this is so important because as you said, you've had this conversation with a path. So I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I joined the company in a director function. They had a loose department, if you will, and they didn't really have anyone sort of in the management or the leadership for it. They had an associate who was sort of helping with things, and they certainly had a presence and had started to put pieces together, but they never had anybody formally building up this department. So, you know, at the time, the company was in the small business program, but they were on a trajectory to graduate the program early. And so in the government contracting space, we have certain protected business classes that help you get contracts with the government. So they're part of the 8A small disadvantaged business program. But there are size restrictions to that. You either get 9 years or you can graduate early depending on your revenue or your employee size. So when I joined the company in 2020, they were on the trajectory to graduate the program early based on size. And that was conversations that they were having literally the first day I walked in about, you know, how do we set the company up for success once we exit this program? Because there is a pretty big void in the government contracting industry for companies who exit this small business program and then are able to succeed, you know, because you no longer have these protected classes or contracts that you're eligible for. So you're immediately competing against GDIT, Lockheed Martin, these massive billion-dollar companies. So there's this void of companies in the middle of these 80, 100, you know, $300 million companies. They just don't exist. So it's very, very difficult to be successful in that phase because you just lose all of the cushions and all of your on-ramp.
Right.
We were having these conversations about, you know, how do we beat the cliff, essentially, is what we call it. How do we beat this cliff? How are you one of like the 2% of companies that are successful at the end of this program? So investing in the culture, investing in marketing communications was one of the things that thankfully the CEO, you know, was buying into and said, now is the time for us to formalize what works in the 8A small business class, sort of a jack of all trades, you know, we'll do anything, doesn't work in this mid-sized market, because you have to know who your customers are. You have to have real products, real services, and be able to attack those opportunities with laser precision to be able to continue to get bigger and bigger contracts. So he had the forethought to bring on and say, it's time to formalize this department. We need to bring somebody in. So he is somebody that I had met in the industry years before. I was looking for a new opportunity because I had hit that threshold at my current role where I no longer bought into the vision of where the CEO was trying to take the company, and I needed the opportunity to bow out and say, I can't come on this journey with you. I'm not in alignment. This is no longer
I'm not your girl any longer.
Exactly. Exactly. So I joined the company like blindly in 2020, like full COVID, you know, no one's in the office. I think I did one virtual interview. I had, you know, that was it. Like I got this job offer. And I said to my husband now at the time, I was like, you know, this feels really risky normally, but in a COVID environment, if this doesn't work out, I don't think anyone's going to judge me for making a jump.
Right.
you know, you just don't know. I had one virtual interview and I said, yes. All right. Like, it's either a great opportunity or it's a terrible one. And I'll have the opportunity to reset if this doesn't work out. And so 5 years later, I'm still here and still a good opportunity. But in terms of the growth trajectory, to your point, there was no one formally in this role. So even though I came in as a director, I was doing a lot of the functions that you would see at that higher level strategy because there was no one there. It took me a long time to be able to build up the relationships and, you know, be able to move the needle in some of these areas because we were maturing so fast as a company. We're growing very fast. You know, our clients are changing, our customers are changing, our employee base is changing, all while we're trying to figure out like, who are we and what do we do and what are we really good at so that we can narrow down our focus to be successful in this mid-sized market, which we knew was coming. So my background outside of marketing, I've come in and out of marketing before. You know, I have an MBA. I was a consultant right before I joined Riva. And so I've got, you know, client experience. I did a lot of strategic planning, a lot of change management, communications, things like that. So I enjoyed that side of the house in terms of growing businesses too. So I think it was easier for me to sort of build my pathway from just managing marketing by able to identify gaps that were in the company and then helping to solve them. So one of the first things that came under my purview was internal communications. At the time, the HR department had like a massive turnover and basically everyone left. And so that left us in a drudge where we had some events coming up. We had a lot of employees who are on contract site. So they just need a lot of touch points back to the corporate office because we're not all in the office working together. They're very native to their client site. So having been in that position myself, you know, working for a large contractor, understanding what their point of view was, that was an area where I've done event planning, I've done communications, I can help you with this. So, you know, figuring out like, let's put it under, let's build a strategy for it. Let's put some thought behind how we want to do this and build our culture. Because when I go out to ask for marketing things, I'm asking for favors. So the more that I can bring people into the fold and bring and change our culture, the easier my marketing job is. If we have happy employees, we have happy clients. So
right.
That's kind of the way that I tied it together was, you know, maybe we put this function under us as well. And so just over the years, I've been able to identify some of these gaps for the company or sort of track on trends or say, hey, this is what I'm hearing from the field, and being able to take that and turn that into some solutions, not just problem identification. I think a lot of people get stuck there.
Right.
And so you have to be able to identify and then execute on those solutions. And so that's kind of how I started to build the ladder for myself. And honestly, there's a couple times where I just showed up to meetings. you know, because I have a background in strategic planning for clients, when I saw an opportunity that there was to help the company start to do that, that gave me access to a lot of meetings and a lot of information that I wouldn't traditionally have just sitting in that marketing role. So finding ways to be very helpful outside of my regular role, identify gaps, help to build that strategy. And with each year, that has been more and more sort of my focus area is the larger vision and strategic, you know, position for the company, which empowers marketing is all a piece of it, but has, again, allowed me to kind of go from a director, day-to-day manager up into these leadership options.
So I love that. I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, you know, you identified the gaps and found ways for you to actually interject and be helpful, not to take over, but to be helpful. And I think that's so important. So something that I want to share is that, I mean, obviously you're doing this. So did you approach the CEO first about the path to VP, or like, how did that conversation even start bubbling up?
Yeah, it was probably a mix of both. But knowing myself, it was probably something I asked for. And I know that is not always common that people feel comfortable advocating for themselves. But because it is so easy for me to point back and say, hey, this is what I came in formally to do. And these are all the things that we've since added. And here are the results that we've achieved. How do we close that gap? What is the next step for me? You know, my ambition has always been to come up to the C-suite. So what are those steps that I need to take to put myself at that next level? What am I not doing today that you would expect to see a senior director do, or a VP do, or, you know, now on the treasury for senior vice president. And so it's always working about 6 months ahead of where you think you need to be. But people will tell you, you just have to ask the question. And I think to your point about, you know, trying to find ways to be helpful, my job is always easier when everyone else's job is easier. And I think that's true of me being a manager for my direct reports, but also those individuals around me. So just being able to be a utility player, helping people think through some of these problems that they might be hitting because they're stuck in their daily routine. It's always helpful to have an outside source come in and say, hey, let me help you think through that. Because ultimately we're all trying to build the company together. I'm not here to take credit. I'm not here to take your job. I'm just here to make your life a little bit easier. Because again, at the end of the day, I have to market this company. That is my core function here. I have to market it. I have to recruit new people, new partners. And so if all of the wheels are turning together and we have happy customers, happy employees, that makes my job just so much easier.
I really love that. I mean, basically it's, again, key thing that you just said too, and listeners, I think it's really important, is letting your ambition and your personal vision be known, and vice versa. Like as a leader, you know, you need to make sure that you also know the people that are on your team, what their vision happens to be, so that you can help them bubble up, you know. And if they are the person who is not speaking or doesn't feel comfortable, help them get comfortable with that. That is so important. So as a leader at the team, like, how are you using these skills to help your team?
Yeah, so basically everyone on my team is a new position, because as my team continues to grow and the purview continues to grow, we need to bring more individuals in to be able to handle some of these things. And even as my role sort of changes in terms of focusing more on enterprise strategy and overall projects versus day-to-day marketing, that frees up an opportunity for me to find someone to take my job. So essentially, right, that's how I've been building the ladder, is every rung that I take, my goal is to bring my team up with me and find opportunities to give them as much visibility as possible, have them be in places where they can be successful, to take the credit for some of these projects, and make sure they're in front of the stakeholders that matter. I never want to be the singular point of failure. I don't want everyone to have to come through me. I want everyone to be able to build relationships with the individuals that matter at the company, so that every single person on my team can be a point of contact for someone, and we can come together and figure out how to do this. But, you know, I am not the top of the pyramid. My job is to make everyone's job easier. And so I try to have very thoughtful conversations at least quarterly outside of the, hey, what are you working on? What's the status on this? About, you know, what's your vision? Where do you see yourself? How do I put you in positions that make you more successful? What about my job do you want to learn? Are there opportunities for you to proxy or be in this meeting for me? My calendar is atrocious. The less meetings I have to attend, the better. Right. So finding opportunities for my team to represent me, the department, so they get that face time, they can build those relationships on their own.
I absolutely love that. So listeners, I mean, this is so quintessential. I mean, I feel like I share this all the time, and it's something that Alex said, is, you know, for each rung that you go up in the ladder to bring your team with you, because eventually if you can bring people to replace you, that's what we want. Not that we want someone to take your job, but if you're going to move up, the only way that you can move up is to put somebody else in that place to fill that spot. So it's really, really important. And getting to know people, it's really, really key. You know, so Alex, what you're doing is as a leader and being part of this company is really quite amazing. I'd love for you to share a little bit, though. You know, there's empathy that has to come with it, and not to just bring it back to being that new mom, but like, how does that empathy, now that you're a mom, it's been, you know, 17 months old, right? How has that changed, or has it changed empathize with people on your team?
Yeah, it definitely has made me softer, and I was joking about it the other day. CEO is like, you came back a lot softer. And I was like, well, that's kind of what happens when you have, you know, a baby. But I think I always had empathy, but it's definitely magnified now because I don't think individuals without children fully understand the mental load and just sort of the expectations that exist with just keeping other people like going and alive in certain cases. And we'd always had the flexibility, like I said, you know, during COVID, the company decided to remain fully remote. So we do have an office that will go in for meetings and other things like that. But we have a lot of flexibility built into our company, which comes with a lot of trust. And it works for our company quite well. So a lot of us are able to be so successful, both personally and professionally, because we have such an integrated work-life flex. And so, you know, someone needs to go to a doctor's appointment or, you know, has something for their children. Like, my expectation is your family comes first. As long as you're getting the work done, I don't care at what hour you do it. It just needs to get done. But those are just things that you need to communicate that, hey, if I'm going to be offline for a certain amount of time, I just need to know that. So I'm not like chatting you, wondering where you are.
Right.
Yeah. So the crazy thing was, she's no longer, she's since moved on for another opportunity. But at the time when I was going, you know, through my pregnancy and then, you know, my maternity leave, the deputy who I left in charge was in a similar place in her life. And her husband were also thinking about extending their family. So, you know, having been a little bit ahead of her, I said, man, your first trimester is really, really rough. If you could do anything, just promise me that when I'm on maternity leave, that you don't get pregnant. Because it's like, there are days where I would wake up and just like stare at the wall for an hour because you're so tired. You're just insanely tired. And I was like, I know even writing you the best of plans for the weeks that I'm gone, you know, there's going to be a lot more expectations on you, a lot more eyes on you. And this is an opportunity for you to shine because I'm no longer there. Like, this is your department for the next 8 weeks. So I said, whatever you do, if possible, just try not to get pregnant while I'm out. Of course, she got pregnant while I was out because that's the way that the universe works. But I think being able to go through something like that myself and then be able to immediately turn around and sort of give that gift and grace back to someone on my team who is going through something exactly the same 8 months later. And, you know, everyone on my team at that point was a mom or, you know, expecting mom. So I just think we've had to learn to work around the schedules and work around the ebbs and flows of what life looks like, because you can have the best intentions for the week and then ultimately my daughter will get sick and it just is what it is. So work will always be there. I think, you know, if you've got high performers, people who will want to learn, are a good culture fit, you just have to build that trust with your team that everyone has each other's backs. If there's truly something you can't get to today because you have another priority, just communicate with it and make sure that, you know, everyone can, we can continue to move the ball. We can move priorities. We can change things around because you're a whole human. You don't just work. You're not just a mom. You're both at the same time. And so we have to treat people that way.
Yeah, that's so true. And I love what you just said. It's so important. Trusting communication is absolutely, absolutely important. So Alex, I could talk to you forever. I think what you are doing is great. I love what you're sharing. So tell our listeners how they can connect with you and get more of your wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me on LinkedIn, Alex Stevens Love. If you like pit bulls and powerlifting, my Instagram is probably for you. So for Alex, not a professional account, definitely my personal life. But you can also catch up with me on my podcast, which is failingpod.com.
That's awesome. Well, we will have links to those in the show notes. So Alex, I so appreciate you being a guest, and listeners, I'm sure you've gotten some great tips and wisdom out of this. So please do me the best favor of all, which is to hit subscribe and also to share it with your friends and colleagues, because I am sure that they will get some great wisdom out of this as well. So I'm Jacqueline Strominger, your host, and thank you all for listening. And thank you, Alex, for being an amazing guest.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me on the Unstoppable Success Podcast, where we don't just talk about growth, we leap toward it. If something today lit a fire within you, sparked a new idea, or gave you the extra push forward, please don't keep it to yourself. Share this episode and podcast with a friend, colleague, or fellow high achiever. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review, And most importantly, connect with me, Jacqueline Strominger, at leaptoyoursuccess.com for coaching, community, and your next bold move. Keep leading with intention, keep building your network with purpose, and most of all, keep leaping, because you were meant to be unstoppable.